The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and smeared the clay on the man's eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed, and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked the man how he was able to see. And he said to them, "Jesus put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had gained his sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he see now?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. It was for this reason that his parents said, "He is of age, question him." For a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." The man replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He told them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this man is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." The man said, "I do believe, Lord. and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you are blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, We see. And so your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. One of our big difficulties as human beings is we want things our way. It's like Burger King, you can have it your way. And that's how we want it, our way. And because we want it our way, we can tend to have a narrowness of vision, a narrowness of mind, and even a narrowness of heart. If it doesn't fit, then we throw it out. Because we know what's important. We know what is true. At least that's what we believe. This is what the Jews believe today. And Jesus decides to test that belief with them. Because it's interesting, at the beginning of this gospel, usually when Jesus heals someone, for instance, when he healed the man born blind Bartimaeus in the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Bartimaeus asked to see. In this case, the man asked nothing. Jesus goes to him, rubs the clay with spittle on his eyes, tells him to go wash, and he comes back able to see. And he consistently tells that story over and over again. That man, he did this, I did this, and I can see. His story doesn't change, whether it's said once, twice, three, or 100 times. It's the same story. Those are the facts. The problem, and this is a problem that we face too, when our mind is made up, don't bother me with the facts. How many times have we had that situation happen? You know, when I was arguing over this body's exhibit, I just kept coming back saying, these were living human beings at one time. These were flesh and blood at one time. And their argument, don't bother me with the facts. Because the fact of the matter is we're making $23 a head, and the fact of the matter is we're not hurting anybody, and the fact of the matter is it's for education. And I said, no, the fact of the matter is these are human beings. Well, don't bother me with that fact. Of course, if that fact happened to be their own relative, they'd be bothered by it, I think. But we don't let the facts get into our own view of things. And this was the problem with the Jews. They knew who the Messiah was going to be. They knew what he was going to look like. He was going to be in the line of King David, a military ruler who would take the oppressors of Israel and put them under his feet and raise up Israel to be the great kingdom of all the earth. That's what they were looking for. That's not what they got. They got something actually much better. They just didn't quite see it that way. They were telling God all the time what they want him to be. Not once did they ask the Lord who he is, because their mind is made up. We know who God is. So Jesus, don't bother me with the facts. There's no way Jesus could have done this because he's a sinner. He broke the Sabbath law. All these conclusions bring them to this main conclusion. This cannot be the Son of God. This cannot be the Messiah. And yet the man who was blind from birth says, Why don't you understand what's going on? Why are you so blinded? And it's often because we fail to see beyond our own view of things. That's true with our view of Jesus, that's true of our view of the Father, that's true of the role of the Holy Spirit, and that's definitely the truth about ourselves. Oftentimes, we don't see our own narrow-mindedness. We don't recognize the fact that God has come to show us the big picture. And the big picture is about salvation. The big picture is about redemption, Christ redeeming us by his blood on the cross. That's the big picture. But no Jew, no self-respecting Jew would have accepted this as a possibility because their minds were closed, their hearts were closed, and their eyes were narrow. They wouldn't accept it. So we, too, have to ask ourselves about the narrowness of our mind, the narrowness of our heart, and the narrowness of our vision. Because as Catholics, we recognize many, many things about the Lord that at first glance doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. First of all, that Jesus Christ, who had a human body and a human soul and a human nature, is truly the Son of God. How can that be? Doesn't make a lot of sense. And so in the process, some people make Jesus more human so they can get by with doing things. Oh, I can be drunk because I'm sure Jesus was drunk once. I've actually heard someone say that. I don't know, but that's what they said. Oh, Jesus understands me because Jesus has been hungover. Remember the marriage at Cana? I don't remember Jesus drinking any wine at Cana. I remember him making a lot of wine, but not drinking it. We try to make excuses about our life by potting it off on God. That's been going on since the Greeks. Why do you think the Greek mythology reads like a soap opera? We put off all of our foibles on God. We refuse to let God be God. And in this case, they're refusing to let Jesus be Jesus. And that's a dangerous thing because we so much cut him short. We miss all the potential, all the great things that he has done for us because we might focus on the one thing he hasn't done for us. We miss the blessings that we have because the one thing we wanted the most is not what we received. And we miss the whole thing in the process. That's the danger that we have to look at. And not only that, but we don't have much time to be looking at it. It's interesting because the gospel itself doesn't have an expiration date. Don't preach this after such and such a time. We don't hear that. But we have an expiration date. We don't know when it's coming, but it's called death. And so when Jesus says, I must be about doing this now, I have to, in a sense, what? Cut hay while the sun's shining. We got to do the work now while the sun's out. He's telling us the same thing. We need to be recognizing God in our midst while the sun's out. We need to see the blessings. We need to see the challenges. We need to see also our sins and the need for us to be healed by them. Because narrowness often means that we don't see our sins. We see other people's sins really good. I can tell you that because oftentimes when I hear confessions, people are telling me everybody else's sins. And after a while, or my husband did this, and my children did this, and my sister did this. And I said, well, that's all fine and good, but unfortunately, I can only forgive their sins if they're confessing them. What are yours? Oh, I don't have any, Father. Well, I would beg to differ. I'd say one of them is definitely presumption because you're presuming all these things about them. Two, I'd assume a lack of charity because of the things you've said about them. Oh, but, you know, I'm just trying to point out their faults. Well, God knows theirs. He wants you to point out yours right now. Widen your vision a little. Look at the bigger picture. And as Catholics, it is so important for us to do that. Because God comes to us in ways that we might not recognize, that we might not even accept as being possible. And the most impossible of ways that God could come to us, he comes to us. He comes to us how? Under the appearance of bread and wine. He takes simple earthly elements, bread and wine, and yet what does he do? He makes them his body and his blood. That's what he has done. And the strange thing is, it seems to be fewer and fewer people are recognizing this reality. That's what we're receiving. We're receiving God himself. Whether into our hand or on our tongue, his body and blood is what we receive. That is the reality of the situation. And I say that because one of the interesting things over the past couple of weeks is I've been running into people who have been saying, Father, I'm leaving the church. I don't think the church is right for me because I'm not being fed. That's their exact words. I'm not being fed. Unfortunately, I've been known to be a bit of a smart aleck. And since one of these times happened after Mass, I decided, well, I don't know if being a smart aleck is a gift or a curse, but the Lord gave it to me, so I'm going to use it. And I used it. I said, you're not being fed. Is that right? Okay, well, let me ask you this. Did you hear the word of God today in the readings? That was God speaking to us. Yeah, okay, that was God, yeah. So, did you receive Holy Communion? Yeah. So in other words, you were fed by God. Yeah. And now you're saying that you're leaving here because you're not being fed. If God can't satisfy you, then I don't know what in the world you're going to find someplace else. Because that's what it really comes down to. If we can't find what we need here, I guarantee you, you're not going to find it at one of those cappuccino-swilling, Bob Dylan listening to slideshow with blue jean preachers services, or whatever they're called. I shouldn't be uncharitable about them, but they are destructive things. They are destructive things. Because the focus is on us and they're not on God. That's the danger. We have to focus on God and see what he's given us in his body and his blood and widen that vision again. If we do that, we're going to find Christ and we're going to be able to see. We're going to take that song of amazing grace and recognizing that God has given us amazing grace in the Eucharist. He's given us amazing grace in his word. He gives us amazing grace every time we ask him for prayers. He comes through our senses, through our taste, through our touch, through our eyes, through our ears. Hopefully he comes out of our mouth. He comes by those senses so that we'll come to our senses and recognize the fact that Christ alone feeds us. Christ alone is our nourishment. And Christ alone is the one who is going to bring us to heaven.